Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
All right, who made the list this week of bad takes for Bad Take Boulevard? Every Thursday at 2, the worst takes of the week. The first one, how about Max Scherzer landing on the list this week? Maybe not even for the sticky stuff. Maybe not even for the rosin he's claiming that he manipulated with some sunscreen, with water, with sweat. Who knows? Max Scherzer, back in 2020, about the Astros. They crossed the moral line and cheated, but they got to answer for it. Yet, fast forward, April 19th, 2023, Max Scherzer's a cheater!
You're throwing stuff.
A cheater! We should erase the career of Max Scherzer. All of the Cy Youngs, all of the strikeouts, all of the wins, it's all a piece of metal. We should forever remember that Max Scherzer was a cheater, and he's not deserving of any of his accolades.
Now, do they send the glove for analyzation? Because he was adamant, and a lot of these with the Phil Cuzzy umpiring crew that have been called out so far, there's three or four of them already this year for pitchers being caught with sticky stuff. He was adamant screaming, it's rosin, it's rosin. It's
rosin can still be illegal, though. If you combine it with certain stuff that makes it sticky and crosses
the line.
So that's
what I'm saying. Are they going to analyze it to see?
I hope so.
I think they should.
I hope so.
I think they really should, because this is twofold for me. Like, one, it's hypocritical because of what you said. Two, the entire situation is hypocritical to me because of the, however, if it's three, if it's four, of the situations that have occurred this year, only one team with one pitcher has been caught and allowed to continue in the game itself. And for that, I'll throw things, because that goes on Robbie Manfred and Major League Baseball for Herman of the Yankees being caught twice in the same game, where they keep saying, he keeps saying, you got to go wash your hands. And he and little Brady Boone don't want to go and do what they're asking him to do. And they get to fight and claw and scratch and whine and wah, wah, wah. And then he gets to stay in the game.
I love everything that you said. Did you call him Brady Boone?
Aaron Boone, whatever. His brother, Aaron, Brett, who cares?
I prefer you calling him Brady. I think it's more of an insult. I like it. I just wanted to make sure that I was clear and heard you right.
Aaron Boone was, wee, wee, wee.
You know, you're right. Manfred makes the list, too, of Bad Take Boulevard. How does Domingo Herman stay in a game where they make him change his glove, it's so sticky, and then have the audacity to run Rocco Baldelli in that game?
Right.
Rocco Baldelli should be retroactively not ejected.
And
whatever
he doesn't
that
get the fine for being ejected.
Yeah.
And the fact that, did Max Scherzer get an opportunity to change his glove?
They gave him a chance to wash his hands, and they forced him to change his glove.
The first time they forced him to change his glove, but then they kept saying, see, this is the thing. You're giving certain opportunities to the Yankees and not anybody else.
Yeah, well, it's not surprising when it comes to Robbie Manfred and his favorite team, the New York Yankees.
Boy, that's annoying. Joe, you have anything to add to this?
I thought you had something to say.
Yeah, I did too, because you put your little headphones on.
I feel bad for Verlander having to pitch.
Okay, well,
you
didn't sound like you didn't jump in on it.
I was getting something ready for the rest of the segment.
We gave you the pregnant pause.
Definitely, this is Bad Take Boulevard, Max Scherzer, for sure. Yeah. You got a chance to wash your hands and you didn't do it and you're going to throw a tantrum?
Yeah, oh yeah, the tantrum was hilarious. Yeah. He's like, boo, boo, boo.
And where's the appeal? So he's automatically suspended for 10 games.
I'm sure it's coming. It's got to be coming.
Are you sure?
You don't think so? That would be hilarious.
Well, that would be basically admitting he was wrong.
That would be hilarious.
Also, like, if you don't appeal it right away, you could go from missing 2 starts to 3 starts, just depending on how the schedule falls.
So you lose the appeal?
Like, if you lose the appeal, like, if you don't do it, like, there's a kind of a window you got to do it.
Remember back in the day when they would have, like, one-game ejections, and players would pick a day that, like, was a perfect day off?
Yeah.
Or, like, a reliever's like, oh, I was used 2 times before. I know I'm not pitching today. Okay, now I'll serve my – I'll drop my appeal today.
Yeah, they would appeal, and then all of a sudden they would drop it. Yeah. Like, if Jordan Alvarez ever got suspended, you know he would do it before a day off.
And yeah,
get back-to-back days.
Get back-to-back days, which is something that he loves to do. So Max Scherzer, you land on the list of Bad Take Boulevard. Who else belongs on the list of Bad Take Boulevard?
I have a list.
I have one more. I have one more here real quick. How about Madison Bumgarner? Not Madison Bumgarner, though. Arizona Diamondbacks for giving Mad Bum an $85 million deal for 5 years.
Yikes.
How did that work out for you, Arizona? Don't sign players to big contracts. Do you know what Madison Bumgarner gave the Arizona Diamondbacks in the duration of this contract? Got DFA'd today.
Not a lot of good.
15-32 record and an ERA north of 5.
Now, Yikes. We were talking to the bullpen before the show started.
Saturdays, 12-2.
No, not that bullpen.
Sundays, 10-12.
No, that's the manure fest. I'm talking about the bullpen, what we call our work area, where we were talking about the fact that the Astros were very, very interested in Madison Bumgarner, 2 years ago?
I think it was before the contract.
It was definitely before.
It was before the big contract.
I think that was the Granky.
It was roped in with the Granky.
So that's 19?
That sounds right.
It was like, are they going to go for Bumgarner, Granky? Yeah. I think it was that one.
Bumgarner was coming up on a contract.
Yep.
Greinke was wanting to be unloaded by Arizona. Yeah, and they ended up making, obviously, the right choice. Although Mad Bum back then had a lot more game than, obviously, he has now.
Yeah, I don't know if that would have been a bad trade. Because once he went to Arizona is when his life got turned upside down.
Well, except for the financials.
Where he was
perfectly happy.
Don't give baseball players huge contracts. All right, well, I'm curious what's on your list here, Joe George.
Yeah, so I would like to... sometimes, you know, old takes expose is our friend for this segment.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like to introduce you to is... Colin Coward.
Never heard of him.
David Pollock. Rob Parker. Chris Broussard. Todd McShay. Jay Williams. Dan Patrick. And Skip Bayless. Little compilation here they put together for us. Because they think Jalen Hurts was not a franchise quarterback.
My takeaway on Jalen Hurts is I don't think he's a franchise quarterback.
I don't think Jalen Hurts is their quarterback for the future. It's a franchise quarterback that you're going to stick with and say, I'm going to go win a Super Bowl.
Jalen Hurts, I'm just not there yet.
I am not sold.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to lead Philadelphia or any NFL organization to a Super Bowl.
I love Jalen Hurts, but I'm not sure he's the quarterback of the future for this franchise.
I think you can win games with him. He's already won a game or two. Tim Tebow won 7 straight games.
I don't know. He's a weapon. I don't know if he's a great quarterback. Can you build around Jalen Hurts long term?
I just don't think he's that level of quarterback.
He's definitely a question mark.
Could the Eagles be all in on Jalen Hurts?
No, because, Skip, I don't see a guy that's good enough that can lead you to ultimately where you want to go, which is the Super Bowl.
So you could probably have pulled some of the Killer Bees. We were right there with him, baby.
You could put me smack dab on that list.
I just wasn't here for that, so I can't.
Are we ready to say that Jalen Hurts, though, can win, be a sustaining winning level quarterback for like 5 years?
That's hard to say.
Because it was small sample size. You can have a peak of 1 year, but like I think Cam Newton could be an example here. Do we think Cam Newton had a great career, had an MVP, had the season, went to the Super Bowl, didn't win the Super Bowl? I think we could probably trying to think of other quarterbacks off the top of my mind that had like one brilliant year. Like Carson Wentz. Wentz had 1 year where he could have won the MVP.
RG3 had a great rookie year.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like... They were a top three quarterback, could have won the MVP. Like Jalen Hurts could have won the MVP this year, got hurt, didn't. Carson Wentz also would have won the MVP if he didn't get hurt the year the Eagles won it all. Cam Newton did win an MVP, never won the Super Bowl. Did he have a Hall of Fame career? So are we ready to say that Jalen Hurts can be like a sustained level winner?
See, I think the answer is yes.
I'm curious what it looks like without Steichen and with Brian Johnson. I say yes, but Brian Johnson with the OC over Shane Steichen has my eye. It has caught my attention. I'm very curious to see how it plays out.
Because now everybody's watching it under a microscope because they gave him the contract.
Well, and the fallout from that is, you know, at some point he'll likely lose A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith.
But right now, the fact that he's got the weapons that he has helps him. Sure, I get that. Look, I was the one that said he has to win meaningful football games in the playoffs and lead them to victory to convince me that he could be the guy. Now, not only was he the guy last year and did everything in his power to lead his team to victory, but he got rewarded with a massive contract sooner than I thought he was going to get it. So I was wrong. Because I said he was going to be a good NFL football player and they could use him a multitude of different ways. I wasn't sold on him. And I'll admit that. But what he did and the fact that he's from here and the work ethic that he has and everything that he went through to and put the work in to get to where he got to, I'm not mad at him. I'm happy for him, and I'm happy to take that L and say I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, this is more of me curious what Brian Johnson looks like as an NFL offensive coordinator than it is what Jalen Hurts can do remaining in his NFL career. Because he made everybody eat crow, and he's been really, 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 really good. I have Joe George on my list twice. Two bad takes from Joe George. The first one, Blankers, mm-hmm. whenever he was filling in for you the other day, mm-hmm. he said there's nothing to the Houston-Dallas rivalry. Nothing to the rivalry between our great city and that lousy city 3.5 hours up north of I-45. So there's nothing to the Houston-Dallas rivalry.
I don't think there really is.
It's not real.
Joe, if there was nothing to it, would you have massive fights breaking out in a parking lot in a preseason game between the Cowboys and Texans?
When did that happen?
Just a couple years ago. It ended in the preseason a couple years ago. Texans, Dallas played here. It caused the Texans to create the new rules in which you had to have a ticket to tailgate on the premises.
One fight.
Joe.
This ain't Dodgers, Giants when people are getting killed.
Do you remember RIP to my boy?
You need somebody to die for it to be a rivalry?
Yes, also, that guy didn't die, I don't think.
You had the Mavs and the Rockets, and RIP to the job that my boy Chad had when he was the social media director. All he did was put a horse head with a gun.
Yeah, but
and he took the L because Mark Cuban got upset because
that's
it's
the Rockets
Mavs
are
and the
soft.
Rockets. Oh, my God.
It Mavs was are soft.
Well,
both organizations were soft for that.
I could go on. The fact that we have a silver boot, the fact that Ranger fans get all caught in their feels every time that the Astros do well and they once again suck. Yeah. And that the Astros got what they didn't get when they thought they should have gotten in multiple years. Yeah, there's a rivalry.
Yeah, I don't.
Man, there's so many more I got to get to. Here was Joe's other bad take that landed on this.
I knew that one was going to come up at some point.
Here's the other one that lands on this list. And I heard this secondhand.
Oh, that makes me nervous.
Tattletale narc.
Joe George thinks Draymond Green will be a Rocket next year.
Oh, I do.
I guess it's not a bad take yet. It's more of a hot take.
No, I think that like if they're going to sign someone like James Harden, that they're going to sign another veteran.
There you go.
How much?
They have all the money.
I don't care about that. If you overpay Draymond Green, that's an absolutely ridiculous take.
Why?
Because they have to be so close close to the best. Because he's not a max player.
He's telling you.
And you know he's going to want – he thinks he is.
So do you think the Rockets are just going to sign James Harden and a bunch of rookies?
No, but I don't think they're going to overpay Draymond Green's single ass.
I think they will.
Triple singles. You're going to give like $20, $30 million a year to a triple single?
Yeah.
Well, go to Wendy's and get that triple single. Stop doing this with Draymond Green. If you're going to pay him like...
I'm just saying, like, Draymond Green, like, if they're going to go all in and try to win a championship instead of following...
But that's ludicrous, too. How are you going to go in and win a championship in the next 3 years just because you get James Harden?
Wendy's.
What else you got?
Yeah, but what else are you doing besides if you sign James Harden?
Wendy's is the...
There are other veteran free agents you could look at bringing in or trying to obtain before you say that the triple single is worth max money.
I did not say that he's worth max money.
I gave you an out. I said, how much are you going to pay him?
I said, I think the Rockets are going to sign Draymond Green if they sign James Harden.
Is that what he said?
I heard it secondhand. All I heard was that Draymond Green will be a Rocket.
That's ridiculous.
I heard RJ say it.
I think it's going to happen if they go for James Harden.
Wendy's is the $5 biggie bag.
RJ, I mean, I'm not sleeping on RJ. I'm just telling you right now. If he heard you say it, then
no, I did say it, but just because
don't
I say it.
Don't try to put the caveat now if they sign James Harden.
No, but I don't talk about everything. We don't not talk about like sports and what we're going to do as if I was running the Rockets. I think the Rockets are going to sign another veteran.
I wouldn't be.
That's fine, another veteran, but it shouldn't be Draymond Green.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't mind Draymond from like a...
I think a part of what you're missing here is
locker
that...
Room and locker room.
That's how little I think of what the Rockets know what they're doing as an organization by signing James Harden.
I have two other really good ones. What should
Let's
I do?
From me?
Not from you.
Oh, got me nervous.
Let's carry it over.
I think we can carry it over. We can carry over a little bit.
By the way, I completely agree with that last statement you made.
What's that?
About having zero confidence in what the Rockets are going to do.
Oh, that was Joe.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you think the Rockets are going to try to stop their rebuild and sign James Harden, Woj talked about it again today, how it's a real possibility.
It ain't happening.
Like, if they're going to go that route and say, forget what we're doing, then you can't just sign James Harden. You have to put your chips all the way in.
You need to get him another running mate, and that ain't Draymond Green.
Look, this is the organization that traded for Russell Westbrook, okay?
Yeah.
So, They give James what James wants. And if James wants Draymond Green,
started on that either.
James gets to that.
All right, carry over Bad Take Boulevard. It includes Odell Beckham Jr. and an awful, 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 awful take on who should be the next quarterback of the Houston Texans. 713-780-ESPN. You have any bad takes that you want to make sure makes the list? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, two more bad takes that made the list this week that we got to get to. You want to start with Odell or the really, really, really bad quarterback take that
Let's
was
save
out there?
The really, really bad quarterback take.
Okay, here was Odell Beckham at his introductory press conference with the Baltimore Ravens and one of the worst takes you could hear about somebody talking about Odell Beckham came from Odell Beckham.
You know, I was an underdog all my life.
Odell Beckham said he was an underdog his entire life. The same guy that got recruited to the Manning's private school in New Orleans that was like a prized recruit to LSU. That was the number 12 pick of an NFL draft as a small wide receiver. Odell Beckham called himself an underdog his entire life? When?
Pretty bad.
When was he an underdog?
And I think it gets swept under the rug because everybody was just so focused on, like, all the whys of why Baltimore? Does this mean that Lamar's coming back? And, you know, the one-year deal? And is he healthy? And all the questions you could ask. That's pretty bad.
When was he an underdog at Newman High School when he got recruited to play there?
No.
The Manning's private school in New Orleans? Was he an underdog at LSU there in Baton Rouge when he was, I think, a five-star prospect going to LSU? Was he an underdog when he got drafted number 12 to the New York Giants? The dude's made tons of money in his entire life. Like, I don't know where Odell Beckham is getting the idea that he has been an underdog.
He wouldn't have been an underdog if Kenny Stabler was throwing the ball to him.
Yeah, he would.
He would excel.
He'd have a tough time catching it.
Joe's going right for that.
I mean, Kenny Stabler is in the Hall of Fame, so.
Yeah, but he's not with us anymore.
But
he's still in the Hall of Fame, though.
He is both of those things.
Yes, those both can be true.
He is both of those things.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Underdog, Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham's underdog.
By the way, how does this hurt the princess? Because he was on Aaron Rodgers' list.
Who's the princess?
Aaron Rodgers, when he insisted that you can't just want to have me on your team, but you have to succumb to all my demands, and I demand all these players, and OBJ's one of them.
I don't think it has anything to do with it. I think Rodgers still wants to be a Jet.
Oh, I do that because he doesn't want to be a Packer.
I don't think it has any impact.
Okay.
Maybe it made him a little sad. Maybe he spent 2 hours in a darkness retreat, but I don't think it influences where or what or who.
As long as he can find the toity.
All right, here's the quarterback bad take. This one was suggested by one of the local SI articles. I guess it's like a fan-sided deal. Texans Daily.
Who writes for that?
I have no
Anybody
idea.
Anybody you know?
No.
Okay.
Fan Nation for SI.
Okay.
They suggest that the Houston Texans trade for this quarterback, San Francisco 49er, not Trey Lance.
Purdy?
Brock Purdy.
Oh, stop.
The suggestion is the Texans trade for Brock Purdy, which is like,
and what, give up a first?
Why would San Francisco do this?
Right.
He has a torn UCL. San Francisco would have to be blown away with any sort of trade offer you get for him. And, oh, yeah, he's a seventh-round talent that is only good because he plays on an unbelievable roster.
Well, there should be some ramifications to saying something like that because that's not even clickbait-worthy. That's, like, absolutely ludicrous.
I mean, you got our click.
Right, but I'm saying that's just because we're calling them out for being, like, the most ridiculous takes of the last week.
Bad take.
That's awful.
Bad take.
Like, of all the different pot, you might as well just get Carson Wentz then. Like, what are you doing to have to give up what you have to give up to get a guy that was Mr. Irrelevant that's coming off surgery? Oh, there's that screams second rounder. First round, go get that guy.
Yeah, that makes the list. You have any other takes that should belong on the list for our next Thursday Bad Take Boulevard? Make sure you tweet them at Pac-Man Joel.
I think Joe George also said that the Rockets should go get Rudy Gobert for 4 first-round picks.
Nope.
1538 says Draymond is the kind of guy you don't like unless he's on your own team.
Agreed.
See, I don't have a problem with the antics.
Fine, but
I don't have a problem with the antics. I don't have a problem with him picking fights, punching teammates. That just builds good character and good culture and makes your guys tough and not soft.
Stop.
I don't care about, like, the leadership.
You love the drama.
No, I don't want Draymond. But, like, there are aspects of Draymond that are positives, I believe. The problem that I have is I don't think Draymond's good at basketball. Like, I don't think he's good at basketball anymore. I don't want him.
I have a twofold scenario. I have a problem with how much he's going to think he's worth and command in the open market. Like, he should not be paid max money or anything close to it. And that's why the triple single matters so much. If he's going to average 9 points, nine rebounds, and like, eight dimes, and you're going to, and he thinks he's worth $27 to $33 to $40 million a year, skip all of it.
You don't think he's going to get a reality check when he hits free agency?
I think that a very, very good team is going to overpay him.
I don't think a good team would. How would a good team most likely pay for him?
Let me tell you how.
Trade a bad contract, sign and trade. That didn't make sense for Golden State.
No, I can tell you who it makes sense for. I can tell you it makes sense for a team like the Sacramento Kings or the Denver Nuggets. They're going to go and try and get a guy that takes them over the top, that gives them what they don't have, that on-floor leadership, that toughness factor, that been there, done that experience factor, and they're going to go try and take the next step. With that, he's going to get overpaid. It's a ridiculously bad idea, but it's one that some good team is going to do. I don't think the Rockets should even consider it for a half second.
Do you know when the last time Draymond Green averaged double figures in a season scoring?
His third year in the league.
He's done it a little bit more recently, but not that recently. 2017-18 season. So what is that, 6 years ago?
Okay.
6 years ago, he averaged 11 a game.
Woo!
So, like, I can live with a player that doesn't score a lot. Like, you're an Max elite defender, money. Like, or you're Dennis Rodman, and you're the greatest rebounder of all time, which, like, he likes to compare himself to Dennis Rodman to be, like, that level of, you know, defensive guy, rebound guy. You know the last time that Draymond Green averaged double-figure rebounds in a year?
3 years ago.
He's literally never done it.
Oh, good.
He has never averaged double-figure rebounds in his entire career.
He got
I think
close.
He's the most overrated player this generation.
Agreed.
I really do.
This is the Robert Horry factor of a guy that is going to be expected to be in the Hall of Fame based on the teams that he was on. Because if you just look at the points and the rebounds and the statistics like you're talking about, Jeremy, and what his final numbers are going to be, there's no justification for Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame aspect is going to come in by being a part of a team that won four championships, five, however many they win and how many they've won. He's going to expect, just like Big Shot Bob was Big Shot Bob, but Big Shot Bob averaged less than 10 points for his career. He doesn't have anything numbers worthy to say he's a Hall of Famer, but there's a belief that he should be in the Hall of Fame because he hit a couple of key shots and because he was a key role player on some championship teams.
I think Draymond's better than Horry, though.
By a lot.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I think Draymond's Draymond's been an all-star, what, four times?
That's a fan vote.
I don't know if he was always a starter, though. And, like, he had years where he was averaging double figures, points, eight rebounds, eight assists. Like, he was a better player than Horry.
I'm not saying that he was a bad player. I'm saying he's not a Hall of Fame player.
He's not a Hall of Fame player. I just don't like the Horry comp. Like,
he's going to be in the Hall.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I use the Horry comp for Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I get you. And I know where you're coming from. Draymond was a better player than Horry.
I got bad news for you. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
That's not good.
Because part of it is that it's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but he wasn't great in college.
I know, but
he wasn't.
But if you look at who they let in, like,
they're very loose. You're
right. They're way too loose.
They're way too
loose. He's going to be a Hall of Famer 100%. Draymond Green will be.
I thought T-Mac was borderline.
T-Mac had, like, his apex, though, was unbelievable.
I mean, why is Yao in?
Well, because of what he meant to the game.
Because what you just said. Because of his body of work.
No,
because he changed the game internationally, because of the fact that, you know, he did things with international competitions and what he did for China.
No, 100%. But Draymond has that. He has Olympic gold medals. Like, that's where, like, it's – they've butchered the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I think so, too.
Like, it's gotten so out of hand that, like – I don't know how Draymond Green. If the fact that Robert Horry is even a conversation for the Hall of Fame.
Well, Rudy was lobbying for him during his speech. Great speech, by the way.
It was very good, except for one part.
You stopped.
They waited too long. They waited too long to put Guy V in.
I'm surprised Kelvin Sampson should already be in.
Calvin Murphy took himself off of the board and the decision making voting part of the Hall of Fame because it was so political and he was so ticked off that Guy V wasn't getting what he deserved.
Yeah, it was a travesty that it took so long for him. It's travesty.
I mean,
right now.
He pretty much
Kelvin's
only
not.
Got in because Elvin wouldn't go anymore.
Is that it, right?
Elvin boycotted the Hall of Fame.
Love Elvin. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's make mock drafts great again. Blankers, our very own Joel Blank has put together a mock draft. Who does he have the Texans picking at 2? Who does he have the Texans picking at 12? And, of course, we got to tell him where he went wrong, and we also have to do our little exercise, too, where we pick number 12 with who already went at number 2. Making mock drafts great again, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Twitter's hilarious right now. What? Everybody lost their blue check mark.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody pretending to be sad. But then what the best part about it is you have... you have people that subscribe to Twitter Blue that are being exposed now for subscribing to Twitter Blue because they still have their blue check mark, and they're like making up excuses.
Did you see Vanessa?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, hers makes sense.
It does, but I mean, right away she was one of those who were like, whoa, before you jump all over me, let me tell you something.
But like, people are so defensive about still having the blue check mark. Like, it's hilarious. Like, oh, don't get mad at me that I still have a blue check mark. There's reasons and excuses why I have the blue check mark.
I mean,
there's reasons I'm that uppity snob that subscribed for Twitter Blue.
TMZ Sports, their last tweet. LeBron James claimed he was too cheap to keep his blue check mark, but his account showed otherwise on Thursday.
Oh, that is classic. Wow. That is classic LeBron.
It's so LeBron.
That is classic LeBron.
It's like LeBron when he says he's reading a book, but he's only open to the first page.
Yeah. Or the other day when he said he knew Austin Reeves was going to be great the moment that he laid eyes on him. Like, okay.
LeBron
all right,
sucks.
LeBron. You knew that Austin Reeves was going to be great the moment you laid eyes on him. I knew he was going to be great the moment I laid eyes on him at the Roundhouse in Wichita.
The basketball player is incredible.
What was the guy before him? The guy with your Bulls now, Joe, with the headband?
Caruso.
Oh, Caruso.
That's like saying you knew that Alex Caruso, he's the second coming of Alex Caruso when he walked in.
He saw him at College Station.
I'm saying,
LeBron
was
invested.
LeBron probably heard him while he was... watching a rock or here for a Rockets game on ESPN 97.5 is like, this Caruso kid, that's the future.
This is funny, dude. My entire timeline right now are people who subscribe to Twitter Blue who are giving reasons and excuses to why they subscribe to Twitter Blue. If you subscribe to Twitter Blue, wear it. Like, don't sit up there and tweet about that you have Twitter Blue. Just wear it. Wear that you have Twitter Blue. Don't send me excuses that you have Twitter Blue. It's ridiculous. It's funny, though. All right, let's get to our Making Mock Drafts Great Again. Today's latest and greatest comes from the brilliant mind of Joel Blank.
Now I'm upset because my computer's not reloading. So
I knew something was going to go
wrong.
No,
but I did the NFL Mock Draft Database. I went through, and I wanted to make sure, and I've got it. It's coming back up now. It's reloading. But I did two of them because I was a little hesitant with the way that they had guys sliding. I did not do trades like Joe George. I thought about some of them, but I just didn't think they were realistic enough.
I like that.
So I did no trades, and I was realistic in the fact that in both drafts, I put Bryce Young as the number one overall pick. Okay?
Good start.
Okay. So I made the Texans picks, and at both times at number two, I took Will Anderson. I went defense.
Okay.
Because I know that, you know, the rumors are out there about both of the other quarterbacks that are potentially in the discussion for the Texans. We talked about either trading down or trading up with 12 to see what would happen. Well, ironically, one of the reasons why I tried two different drafts is because both times at number 12, both guys were still available.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So, in my first effort to do this, Bryce Young was taken number one overall. I took Will Anderson at number two. At number 12, C.J. Stroud was still on the board, and I took C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
Okay? So, if you're curious...
Is that the one we're going with?
I mean, we can do compare and contrast if you'd like.
What did you have 12 on the other one?
Your boy Will Levis. He was there in both drafts.
What is more realistic? Stroud at 12 or Levis at 12?
I think Levis.
I think Stroud.
You really do think he's fallen that far?
No, I don't think either guy's fallen that far. For the record, I don't think either guy's falling that far, but I do think that of the four first-round quarterbacks that we've been talking about to are blue in the face, I think C.J. Stroud is going to be the fourth of those four quarterbacks taken.
It's hard to say because a lot of people are making assumptions about what's going to happen between, like, 7 and 11.
Yep.
And like, that the Tennessee Titans are going to trade up for a quarterback, that they're 100% out on Malik Willis, and they're done with Tannehill.
Titans and Atlanta are the two most rumored to be active teams looking to trade up for quarterbacks.
And then Vegas.
Atlanta?
Yeah.
No, I've seen Atlanta starting to come in.
Yeah, really? Atlanta is really but starting to be talked about.
I think they're going to stick with Ritter.
I do, too.
I think they're going to try to go like the 49ers method. And like they're going to be like, okay, we're going to have Desmond Ritter.
Yep.
And that's why when I did mine, I put Bijan to 8. Because then in theory, you're going into a season with a top, 7 pick in Kyle Pitts, a top 8 pick in Bijan Robinson, and a top wide receiver in Drake London.
Mm-hmm.
And it should just be plug and play for a quarterback because you have 3 elite weapons.
Best case scenario, I think that's best case scenario. And look, I don't think much of Desmond Ritter, to be completely honest with you. He was a Cincinnati pro prospect that I wasn't high on. I was high on Sauce Gardner. I don't think Ritter is going to be a very good NFL quarterback, so it wouldn't like stun me if they were in the market for QB. But I think they want to give it a year look with that offense that Joe just described to see if Desmond Ritter can be this RPO type of quarterback and you can win the way the Eagles just won, where Bijan Robinson's going to tote the rock all the time. You still have a really good receiver, really good tight end. You still have a decent defense. And remember, what's blanking on the coach's name there? Came from over from Tennessee.
Smith.
Yeah.
Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith. I think he's very run-heavy. And if you're very run-heavy, it makes sense to go Bijan at 8. You have a quarterback that can also beat you on the ground, but he also has some good targets in Kyle Pitts and Drake London.
I also think that if it fails miserably and you have all these other weapons that you're stockpiling, that in a year's time, whether it be May or Caleb or somebody else, you could be in the discussion again to end up with a quarterback of the future and a legit first-round caliber quarterback in 2024.
Yeah. I'm Atlanta's very intriguing to me. I think Philly's really intriguing at 10. I think the draft starts at number 2 with the Houston Texans.
Whether it's Bijan or otherwise, I think Philly's going to end up with a really good running back. They're either going to get the kid from Alabama or they're going to get Bijan.
I prefer, if I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan, I prefer going best player available at number 10, maybe probably defense with as much players as they lost, and hoping I get Jahmyr Gibbs late with my second first-round pick.
I'm saying that late first-round pick, I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be right there.
And I think the world of Jahmyr Gibbs.
I know,
I think
he's perfect. Think about the guys, the prototypical Eagles running back of the last couple of years and the guys they lost. He would be the perfect replacement. He'd be the perfect weapon for Jalen. He'd be the absolute luxury fit right there for them at the right time.
Yeah, I'm a fan. So let's go. You want to go with the Stroud one? The Stroud goes there at 12 for the Houston Texans?
Let's go with the Stroud one at 12, okay?
So unconventional how the Texans get their defensive end quarterback, but they get defensive end quarterback. They get Anderson, right. They get Stroud.
So here's how it goes the rest of the first round, though, if you were curious. Tyree Wilson went 3 to the Cardinals. Richardson did go at 4 to the Colts. Jalen Carter didn't slide that far. He went to 5. Then Witherspoon, the corner from Illinois, went to the Lions. Skoronski went to the Raiders. Christian Gonzalez, the corner from Oregon, goes to the Falcons. Joe, your Bears take Paris Johnson Jr., the tackle from Ohio State. Then the Eagles get Joey Porter Jr. at corner. Jackson Smith and Jigba misses the Texans by 1, goes to Tennessee. And now you got C.J. Stroud. I had the Texans taking C.J. Stroud. He was still on the board. The other options are Broderick Jones, the offensive lineman from Georgia, goes to the Jets. Quentin Johnston, the wide receiver from TCU, goes to the Patriots. Miles Murphy, the edge pass rusher from Clemson, goes to the Packers.
Yeah, I think Stroud's 4 of 4 of these first-round rookie quarterbacks, but I've said all the time that I want defensive end QB. The value of Stroud at 12 is just far too good. I want to leave the first round with quarterback defensive end. I'm going C.J. Stroud as much as I'll be pained that the Houston Texans have Stroud as their quarterback. I can live with it if he's at number 12.
Would you like what if? Okay, if it plays out this way, Will Anderson is the second pick, and then let's say it is the Titans that trade up, and they take Will Levis, and then Anthony Richardson goes to the Colts. So those three guys are gone in the top 4. Young, Levis, and Richardson are all gone.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans have the 12th pick. You talked about trading up to 9 for Levis. If they traded up to 9 for Stroud, isn't that you're not okay with that?
You're just
that anti-Stroud?
No, I don't want to miss out on one of
these
quarterbacks.
You'd rather roll the dice that he stays there and is available at 12 than you would trade up to 9.
See, I think somebody would trade up to 9. I don't. There's no way that Stroud's going in the double digits, even though I think he's the 4th of these 4 quarterbacks to be taken on draft day. I think that somebody probably makes a trade up to 8, 9. I think Chicago's a trade-up option if a quarterback slips, to be honest, especially for the Texans, because I think Chicago could still get a player or a position that they want at number 12. I don't want Stroud at 2. If they're trading from 12 to 9 to get Stroud, fine. If Stroud, for some reason, slips to 12, fine. I'm not in love with it, but I also can't diminish the value of that. Like, you've had a C.J. Stroud's been rumored to go number one until Bryce Young all of a sudden was the heavy favorite. He's been rumored to go number two for a long time, or favored to go number two. He's kind of universally thought of as a top five pick. If I can get Stroud at 8-9 for a trade-up, I would be content with that. I wouldn't have a sour taste in my mouth.
To me, look, and this is why when I was looking at this, at first I didn't think it was realistic. But then when I started thinking about it more, there is something to it. I think that when we get closer to the draft, there's a reason why he's starting to fall, and it has nothing to do with the Manning camp. It's the fact that a lot more people putting a lot more stock into and a lot more thought and a lot more tape of Al to realize there might be something to how good the receivers were around him, the weapons that he had, the throws that he did not make. Yes, he did step up in the semifinal game and impressed a lot of people who were already not impressed with him as well, by the way. But I don't think that was enough to sway NFL general managers, and I do think that his stock is starting to tumble.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was on this right after the season. Like, these were all things that have concerned me about Stroud for a long time.
And we had talked about him because I was with you on a lot of being a Big Ten fan and watching a lot of those games. I was with you as well. I wasn't on the Will Levis train like you were, but I was always a Bryce Young guy. I just wasn't on a C.J. Stroud. Now, he did impress me a little bit in the semifinal game, because he was a little bit tougher, a little bit more athletic. He ran the football better than I thought he could. But overall, it didn't put my fears to rest in terms of his ability to make tight throws and tight windows and really kind of throw a guy open as opposed to hit a wide open guy.
Rumors are out there today that if the Angels fall out of the playoff race, which I thought they started opening day that way, if they fall out of the playoff race, Shohei Ohtani will be on the market because he's an expiring deal. Expiring contract, Shohei Ohtani. What is the most you would give up to have the two-way star as an Astro? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something that you need in your life if you're a business owner is HRP. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holly, members of the Cougar 100 for the eighth year in a row. Mike used to protect Heisman Trophy winners. Now he wants to protect you and your business. Business owners, let HRP help you. Human Resources and Payroll, that's HRP. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HRP can help in any or all of those areas. There's no boxes with HRP. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big. HRP will completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. If you have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate, HRP will find a way to help. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You'll love that, but you'll fall in love with their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you. They know your business needs. We use HRP at Gal Media. I have questions from time to time. Anytime that I have one, I'm an email guy. I fire off an email and I always get a quick response that's easy to understand. So employers, take care of your employees with HRP. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525, and let HRP customize a plan for you. You can also check them out on the web at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
It's time to play the game. Time
Your to teams, play the game. Our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joe George is playing Hunter Brown's music when the Astros have an off day. What are you doing? We saved Luis Garcia yesterday because we gave him his song, Selena's Baila Esta Cumbia, which he pitches great when the Killer Bees play that song. Joe George didn't play it in his first three starts, was lousy, looked like a pitcher that belonged in Corpus Christi.
Yep.
And then yesterday we played it. And what did Luis Garcia do yesterday? He went five shutout innings,
matched a career high with nine strikeouts.
And Joe George just went Hunter Brown music. The day before Hunter Brown is pitching.
But I'm busy, Jeremy, and I got a lot going on.
No, I had my back turned.
You know what? My favorite part about that is he was like, you know, I got him. Yeah, he's like, I got him. I'm playing their music.
No, I was just like making sure I had it ready. Yeah. But I forgot
that. Yeah, you had that little overconfident face. Like,
no, I was just like,
go ahead, try and say something.
No, I was just, you guys want this? I had it ready. A day early.
I hopped in his ear before he turned on our on-air mic, and I said, I'm about to crush you.
Yeah. I knew right away.
He knew immediately what he had done.
I was like, nope, it isn't off
that. He knew his faults. He knew the error of his ways.
What a disaster.
Yeah, that was bad. Although, I have no room to talk today. None. With Kenny Stabler, and I'd like to have a drink with him, and he's passed away a long time ago. All right, there is rumors out there that Shohei Ohtani is going to be on the trade market should the Los Angeles Angels fall out of the race. What is the most you'd give up for Shohei Ohtani? Here's the thing, too. Shohei Ohtani's in the final year of his deal. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. Some of these texters that we have texting in, the offers are ludicrous. And quite honestly, right now, the Angels have a better record than the Astros. They're a half game ahead of the Astros in the AL West. I think they're a far better team than they were last year. I'm not so sure with the addition of the fourth wild card where you have seven teams that are now making the playoffs. I'm not so sure that the Angels are going to fall out of the race. I really don't.
I think there are signs of it. I don't believe in Nevin. I don't believe that they're going to stay healthy. I don't think that as much as they made better, more sound moves in this offseason.
Six teams, by the way. Three division winners, three wild cards.
I don't think that they have. I mean, I think they have some talent, but again, it's like the haves and the have-nots on the same roster. You've got really overpaid, high-priced talent at the very, very, very top. I think they're going to dump out on Ohtani because they're going to find out he's not going to sign before the end of the season, and they're going to dump out at the trade deadline. That's going to hurt them, and I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
I think there's a chance that they're in contention the entire year and not trade Shohei Ohtani. But if we entertain the idea that they drop out of the race, they are the Angels and they angel this, and they fall out of the race and Ohtani's on the market.
Can I give you one piece of intel while I was in California that my brother-in-law, Mike, who is an avid sports fan. I don't want to say well-connected, but he's also got a ton of family members that are massive Angels fans. And he said to me, if you look at the schedule closely right now, the Angels have a ton of promotions with Ohtani. None of them are after July 1st.
That's hilarious.
Because
that's a great catch.
They are expecting. I thought it was an awesome catch as well.
I think the Angels would be stupid not to trade him. If the Angels are falling out of the race and they're not going to make the playoffs, they would be stupid not
to
trade
him. You better cash in. If there's an inkling. Because the hot rumor out there is he's going to be a Dodger.
Oh, really?
The hot rumor out there is the Dodgers did not go deep into the free agency market. They let some of their free agents walk away, i.e. Trey Turner and Anderson, the pitcher that went to the Angels. And it was all because they are clearing what they need to clear so that Ohtani stays in the same city, just jumps teams and leagues, and ends up with the Dodgers.
They should have traded him last year. Because what you can get in return for 3 months versus
a year, three months,
and a season, you just
have to admit defeat
of like where you are as a franchise.
Well, I think it would have been wise, too, to trade him last year.
And we talked about this. It's one thing to say from a marketing perspective how much you could have cashed in to try and recoup some of that, and it's not really outlandish what you would be paying him. But also, remember when we said that in baseball, you control your international television rights. Conceivably, you could have made the contract back to take the risk of going to get him for a year and some.
Yeah, I do think that the Angels waited too long. I believe that they will trade him and they'll fall out of contention. I think they'd be stupid not to, because you got to recoup some stuff for Shohei Ohtani. So what would you pay for 3 months of Shohei Ohtani to be an Astro? This is probably the wrong regime to do this. I'm not sure that Dana Brown's going to be the type of guy that makes a trade for Shohei Ohtani, or be like Jeff Luhnow that made the trade for Gerrit Cole, 2 years of him, or be like Jeff Luhnow where he agreed to a trade that would have landed Bryce Harper in Houston for the 3 months in the final year of his deal until the Nationals ownership turned it down. Like, Jeff Luhnow would have made this type of trade. I don't know if Dana Brown's going to be that type of general manager. James Click would not have been.
The Bryce Harper
Jeff Luhnow
rumors.
Would have been.
Yeah, the Bryce rumors alone.
They weren't rumors. It was done.
Look, that tells you all you need to know. There's no doubt Luhnow would have considered it.
The Nationals backed out, which is silly. Like, why are the Nationals backing out of that trade? And then he leaves in free agency, and you were terrible that year. Now, none of the pieces that were going to Washington, I don't believe, were very good. I can't remember the exact package, but I didn't recognize any of the names. So what is the most you would give up for 3 months of Shohei Ohtani? Some of these are terrible. Tex and Matt. Tucker, Pena, Whitley, and Gilbert for Shohei. You're not giving all of that up for 3 months of Shohei Ohtani. I would give up McCullers, Garcia, and Urquidy. Well, maybe not as bad.
The package for Bryce Harper, just for reference, it was Abraham Toro, Randy Caesar,
Toro.
Josh James and J.B. Bukauskas.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, Bukauskas was in the Greinke trade.
Like, those are the four guys.
In retrospect, you should have done that.
Well, they did. They agreed to it.
I know, but then the Nationals backed out. Right, they backed out.
The Nationals' ownership backed out.
Would have been a huge steal for the Astros.
Would you trade?
3 months of them. They also offered him like a $50 million one-year deal.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Forrest Whitley.
Is that it?
No.
Are you done talking?
I think you start with Forrest Whitley.
Keep going. Fine.
Forrest Whitley, Corey Lee, because you know Yadier Diaz is your catcher of the future. So he's kind of an expendable asset. Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because they've said it.
Danny's also said it about Corey Lee.
I know. So you trade one of them, whichever one you like less.
Yeah.
You trade one of the catchers, Forrest Whitley, Jake Myers, everyday outfielder for the Angels.
Yeah. He's taking over for Mike Trout.
And like another low-level prospect.
That's not going to be the best offer for Shohei Ohtani.
No, the Astros can't come close.
They could come close if they start throwing in some names from their big league team. I think it would probably require a Luis Garcia, a Hunter Brown, not all together.
But what's hard is like...
They would have to headline the trade. If you look at
Contreras a year ago, you would think that Urquidy, depending on how he pitches, is going to be a guy that conceivably could be in the mix.
Uh-huh.
I'm not trading...
I don't know if they'd want Urquidy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Urquidy's kind of old. But he's older, and he's a mid-range. Like, he's a middle of the rotation. They would need a young starter that has top-end rotation potential. It might take Hunter Brown.
And I'm not doing that deal.
They're not doing that.
Because
I think it'd be Whitley or Garcia.
You know that you're not going to sign Shohei Ohtani. You know he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
So are you going to trade...
You're getting 3 months of Shohei.
Big-time players for your current roster and give them to a division rival in which they're going to be a nuisance. Like, the idea of training Hunter Brown for 5 years for 3 months with Shohei Ohtani, it might lead you to a World Series, but I'd rather have Hunter Brown for 5 years.
Yeah, you can sustain success
instead of going where you've already been. You've already won a World Series.
And, like, if this was last year, this is a different conversation. I would have traded Hunter Brown for a year and 3 months of Shohei Ohtani and a lot more.
See, I'm curious what the Angels are going to be looking at with trade offers, because there's going to be some teams that are willing to give headline-worthy prospects for Shohei Ohtani, even if it's only for 3 months.
The Dodgers have a top prospect. Like, they're one of the best teams in baseball, maybe not this year, and they have a really good set of prospects.
But do they want to trade that and then sign Shohei in the offseason?
Yeah, when they know that he's going to sign there anyway.
What if they're behind
San Diego?
The Diamondbacks.
Well, the Diamondbacks are in first place right now, which is crazy.
What if they're for real?
Diamondbacks are good. I told you all that in the offseason. I have an overbet for the Diamondbacks.
Well, why did you take them in our MLB draft?
Because I wanted to. I drafted pretty good in that MLB draft.
I know, but you didn't
memory serves.
But you didn't take the Diamondbacks.
Sure, but their win total, like their over-under was like 71.
You guys are very, very bickery.
Their over-under was 71 wins. I have an over ticket.
I think the Yankees are going to make a play for Ohtani.
I think so, too.
I really do.
I think they could do the 3 month rental and be
They absolutely it. Can. The money's not an object, and they know how important winning is and getting over the hump.
Money's not the object here, though. It's
no,
the
but they want to get off the schneid with the Astros. They never care about prospects. They know that
they've held on to Volpe forever.
Right, but as long as Steinbrenner's in charge, they're going to go and take the big splashes of free agency.
Steinbrenner. This is a much different Yankees.
Still, I think the Yankees are going
to
make a play.
Do the Yankees have the prospects to do it?
I would bet on the Yankees being the team that makes the move, or the Mets.
Well, I could see the Padres doing it.
For 3 months?
With all they've already done?
Yeah, because Shohei's not that expensive right now.
I know.
And they also feel like they're not going to sign him in the offseason, so you trade for him with the hopes that you can talk him into staying. I think the Padres are the play. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse? What's their lead story today?
Draft.
Today's lead story is kind of difficult. What do you think their lead story is today, Joe George? Draft is simple, though. It's got to be draft.
Wait, the draft is about football, right?
The series win? Yeah, but usually you have to have like a pretty, like, you know, a good lead in. Yeah, let's go Astros winning the series against Toronto.
Joe, what'd you say?
We'll go Astros +200. Astros +200. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Joe George for doing all of the hard work. He's Blank on Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.